Hey everybody, welcome to Geeksters episode 132. This is a show where we talk about all things kind of geeky. Really, if it has a computer, we'll talk about it at some point, whether it's maybe new watches, new iPhones, new Android phones, new laptops, desktops, tablets, you name it, we're going to talk about it. My name is Martin Obando. I'm one of the hosts here. My other host joining us today, we're down a crew member. Tim is unavailable to join us today, but Mitch is still here. Hey Mitch, how's it going?
Not too bad. Had a real good weekend. Went to the ball game Saturday, and it rained half of the game. But what was cool about it, they had the Blue Angels fly over
because they had
They had all the celebration in Baltimore for the 200th anniversary, you know. And that, I don't know, six or seven times they flew across. So I got some pictures. I did post them on Facebook. One shot. Had to blow it up, but that was pretty exciting.
Yeah. Did the Orioles win?
No.
No,
but they beat the Yankees 3 out of 4. Their magic number is 1 for winning the American League East.
Well, I know my Angels they clinched the spot. So
yeah, they have the best record in baseball, Angels, and the Orioles are number 2.
Yeah, so I'm all for that. But no, that's cool. I did see those pictures. I did see that you went to a ball game, and that's always fun, right there, whether it's raining or not. Of course, you'd like some nice weather. The Blue Angels, I have seen them in person. They have been over here to the Pacific Northwest doing like an air show. Mm-hmm. And they are amazing, and they're loud, and they're spectacular. If you've never seen them do an air show, I have a hard time when people get too close to me in the car, and I'm only going like 30 miles down the road, mm-hmm. miles per hour. When they're that close and they're screaming overhead, at a much faster speed, driving something with a whole lot more volatile fuel in it, it always kind of makes me a little nervous.
Yeah, they did have a show. I mean, of course, I didn't go to that, but I might catch them next time.
Yeah, there. One time, I'll digress here for a minute. One time, so the airport, you come into the airport and it lands like this. Okay, mm-hmm. Well, right in the landing zone, just before the airport, there's a major road, and there's Costco and McDonald's and all that kind of stuff over there. Well, the Blue Angels were coming in to do some performances, and they have a maneuver where they bring the plane up like this, and then they move it slow across. And so nose, rear, exhaust, thrusters. Well, it brings it right across the road, and we're sitting there at a stoplight. You know, we're about 20, 25 cars back. It's like I said, it's a fairly busy road, and here comes the Blue Angels. And they're loud because you're right underneath them, but then they flip it up. They went over my car like that. And that'll shake the snot out of your car. it's not the newer car that we have now. We still have the older car, but you know, it has 200,000 miles on it, and the car was just
any kind of rumble. Like when they were flying, I mean, they were flying, I guess, around, but you couldn't see nothing. And I'm wondering, what is that rumbling noise? Because it was like it was, you know, drizzling half the game, and I didn't think they were going to do it. I heard they were, but I was figuring since it was really kind of nasty weather out, you know, overcast and cloudy, but they still did it though.
Very nice. And it's those planes are amazing because you don't hear them, and then you hear a loud squeal and then a loud rumble, and you go oh, and then you go to look for it, and they're already, you know, miles away from you by that time.
Right.
Well, awesome. Well, that's cool. And well, my weekend was just, we hung out. We went to a concert on Saturday night. My wife, as you guys know from last week's show, she's out of town. She gets back in tonight. So it's been about a little over a week that my wife has been in Haiti. She has had just a wonderful time. You know, it's rural. You know, she's done just basic medicine. You know, there's none of that, you know, here in the United States where my wife has to make sure that the certain protocols are followed, and there's always, everything, document, everything. You know, everybody's checking on everything. There's always quality assurance, and those are good things. Don't get me wrong. But when going to a third world country, she's just basically just treating the need. Everything from you know, ingrown toenails to, I think there was a boy one time that had worms, broken fingers, you know, just, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, it's just rural medicine. And when talking with her, I think she really liked it. I think it took her a while to get you adjusted to everything. You know, she's got a mile, she has to hike a mile every day one way. So it's a mile there to get to the place and then a mile back home. And, you know, the elevation change and the time change, and it's the Caribbean. So much more humid, much more, you know, I would probably melt. But I think after everything settled in and she started just doing what she has trained to do and gone to school, she really, really loved it. And so I'm looking forward to hearing from her tonight about some of the stories that goes along with some of the pictures we've seen. And then, so that's what she's been doing. Like I said, we went to a concert. That was a great, had a good time with that. And then Sunday, we just kind of lounged around. It was a nice, relaxing Sunday. I had server updates and stuff, but, you know, nothing too overly exciting here at the Obando home.
Yeah, I got to work on a Windows 8 machine. A laptop was infected. But all the usual utilities, I used them and they cleaned it up. And it was a newer one. It was an i3, so it wasn't real slow. And I just didn't, you know, I got some updates. I didn't bother with the 8.1. However, after reading about it, 8.1, and listening to Corey Fruitman from Instant House Call, he was on the episode of Podnuts or Podnuts Daily. And they, you know, he talked about tips and tricks, tricks for Windows 8.1. And I like it. I like it a lot. See, they brought back, well, it's, I wouldn't say a start menu, but if you right-click it, it'll give you the option right there to, you know, shut it down. And there's a whole bunch of things in there. Get the control panel. So, and by default, it will boot up to the desktop instead of the modern app look. But you can change that. But so actually, you really don't have to touch the modern apps if you don't want to. But I put it on a Core 2 Duo, four gigabytes of RAM, older laptop, my MSI Core 2 Duo. It's at least 5 years old, and I think it runs faster than it did with Windows 7. Seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, you know, I mean, it's not blazing fast, but I think it's noticeably, to me, it seems like it's noticeably fast, because I just recently did a clean install on that. Maybe two months ago, maybe less. But I had a new hard drive laying around, so I stuck it on there, and I like it.
Very nice. Yeah, I have noticed that more and more clients have come to me with Windows 8 computers. Just, you know, like today, I was in the coffee shop, and I was on my way out, and the manager of the shop says, "Oh, are you leaving?" And I said, "No." She says, "Oh, I haven't been able to connect my laptop since we made over the wireless change. Could you take a look at it?" And I said, "Okay." So she runs in the back, runs back out, and it's an Asus laptop. And I open it up, and boom, I know it's Windows 8. And I'm like, "Okay." Now I got to remember how to get to where I need to go. I did find out what I had to do was forget the network, because we named it the same and joined back in, and everything was fine. But I've worked with some other Windows 8 machines lately, and I'm not pushing out Windows 8 machines. I think if people, I've gotten more comfortable with Windows 8. I think the techs have become more comfortable with Windows 8. If people buy Windows 8, I can still support them. And 8.1 did make that change where, yes, you can right-click on the Windows-looking where the start button usually is. Now there's the Windows symbol. You can get some stuff there. You know, I was just on a computer the other day, and I couldn't get to where I needed to go, and I just dropped out to the Metro interface, or the tiled interface, or whatever it's called now, and I just typed in services. I started to type it in, and I went right to the services. So I am becoming more comfortable with Windows 8. Therefore, I'm becoming more efficient in Windows 8. I don't have a Windows 8 machine. I still, you know, we've talked about this definitely and a lot in the past, is separating the two interfaces. I wish they weren't together. That makes me hopeful then for Windows 9, that if they're going to keep building on Windows 8 and they're finding that Windows 8, you know, your experience, and actually Fred has mentioned that he found that Windows 8 was a whole lot faster as well, is that if that's if that's what we're coming into, is seeing Windows 8 much faster, more efficient than Windows 7, and now we can streamline it and make it Windows 9, I'm kind of looking forward to that.
Yeah, and you talk to my son, because you know, I went to the ball game with him Saturday. He has Windows 8 on all his home PCs, and he definitely likes it.
Well, I know that we have a listener of the show that I'm not going to say names, just because I'm not sure, you know. But we do have a listener of the show who the other day hinted to me that they may be getting a early release copy of Windows 9 to test with, and so I said, "Hey, if you happen to get two, nudge, nudge, wink, wink." we'll see what happens.
Well, I mean, did I read this correct? I think it's coming out. Oh, I forgot the date already. Like the end of the month or something in beta?
It is pretty soon.
Yeah, so I'm sure everybody's going to have a choice to get the beta.
Right. I don't know when, if this was, how this is going to work out or anything like that. But, I still, for everybody still running out there, everybody out there, you know, who's listening to me and say, wait, Martin, aren't you running Linux? Aren't you the Linux guy in Geeksters? I'm still going to run Linux. I still like my Linux desktop.
But Windows is your living.
But I have to know Windows because Windows pays the bills. I have a very, very, very small percentage of my clients who actually run Linux. And usually it's server stuff that I go back and I'm like, oh yeah, it's been 3 months. I wonder if I should update that server, because you don't have to. You know, that's the great thing about it. And I run Linux on my laptop because if there's a major network infection, people say why, and this is one of the major reasons. If there's a major infection, I can still take my laptop in. I can plug into the network. I can do what I need to do and not have to worry about infection. And so it creates a nice barrier. So I'm not going to leave my Linux desktop. I still love you, Linuxy. Don't fret. I'm patting my laptop here right now. But I want to know more about Windows 9. And I'm excited to see what's coming. I'm excited to see what's coming up. I think when I saw the 7 to 8 transition, I was like, nah, I don't really care. But now I kind of see how Windows 8 runs, the efficiency of Windows 8. And, I'm looking forward to 9.
Yeah. I haven't read at all too much about 9, but it would be good on the install. It will give you an option if you want the modern apps or not. That would be I don't know if it does. I'm behind on my Windows show. Listen to Windows Weekly, so I'm like 3 shows behind on that. But that would be a really good choice because, like, you know, I have it on that laptop upstairs. I don't have to touch the modern apps. But mm-hmm. I think it would be good to give you a choice to install it or not. So.
Oh yeah, I completely agree. I'm just looking at some of the images. What I'm seeing is and this is what I think, if you Google like Windows 9 images or something like that, what you end up seeing is the traditional desktop, or you get the desktop like we're used to now with Windows 8.1. And then the start button, but then you get the kind of a hybrid of Windows 7 on the left hand side. And then on the right hand side, you still get your tiled interface, you know, so you get kind of a combo between the two. But those are, you know, those could be leaked images. They could not be real images. You know, we never really know until it actually comes out. But what do you guys think out there who listen to us? We get emails, we get voicemails every now and then. Are you guys looking, you know, is 9 something you guys are looking forward to? Do you care? Has 8 been such a sour taste that you don't really care? I think at some point, and this goes for servers as well, at some point we have to move on from 7. I mean, granted, that's far away. We have time still, but at some point we're still going to be in the same boat as we are now with Windows XP. We will be in that same boat in the future. 7's gone. What are we going to move to?
Well, if the pass is any indication, just like, you know, every other operating system was a real smash hit. So, because you had XP was good and Vista wasn't good, Windows 7 was good, and then, but Windows 8, you know.
Don't forget you had ME in there.
I deliberately knocked that away. That's one.
Sorry.
Yeah, Mitch, that was the bit. Well, I started off with XP. Yeah. Well, you had
go to your happy place.
Yeah. I mean, I used ME, and it wasn't as bad as what people said it was.
It wasn't as great as some people said either.
I didn't use it long, so I don't know.
It was my primary system for a while. I don't remember going, this is the best thing ever. I remember having issues with it, just like Vista when Vista first came out, when driver compatibility, and just remember that it just took so long for everything to catch up to Vista.
Windows 98, I was just getting into networking, home networking, nothing like what you do. And that was even a little more difficult than in, I can't remember exactly, but, you know, not as easy as in Windows 8. I mean, Windows XP.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the first time I tried it, did I blue screen a machine or something? I can't remember. And that might have been because of the adapter I had. I can't remember. So long ago.
No, there definitely has been a progression of simplicity, I can't think of the word right now, where, you know, you're talking about blue screening Windows 98 because of an adapter. Well, you don't have that as much anymore. You know, things stay on pretty good. So.
Well, I did have a Like I worked on an XP machine about 3 weeks ago, and that was one of the problems there, blue screen. And back in the day, I recognized, you could tell when it would tell you it was an NVIDIA card or it had the initials there. So I knew, and I had the exact same card, which I experienced the same problem. So I knew right away what the fix was for that. Just update the drivers, and but fortunately, I have not had too many blue screens at all. I don't think I ever had any in Windows 7 at all.
They changed the color.
Yeah, I might have got infected once, but we're not going to talk about that.
So that's because you shouldn't go to those places. The Windows 8 computer that you just cleaned up this weekend, mm-hmm. was it a normal infection? Was it something that took a lot of time, or like you said, just the standard tools?
No, it didn't really take too long. I mean, I took he was waiting for a while, but I finished it up that night, and he picked it up the next day. Normal infections. Just probably installing software that was, you know, tagged along with other software that they were downloading. They didn't know what they were installing. Site Optimizer, you name it. And it cleaned up pretty well, you know, pretty easily, just using all this stuff. Just it took a little time to run the scans. But nothing bad, because getting in safe mode is a little different in 8 than it is in 7. Don't ask me the procedure, because I forgot already.
I was just going to ask you, how'd you do it?
I think you got to go to one. I forget. I can't remember. I did it before, but it's a little different. And actually, you can edit something in there so you can get to it the normal way, and then you can put it back if you want. And I can't remember exactly what I did. I didn't have to get in safe mode, but I did on another XP machine. I mean, 8 Windows 8 machine a while back, and it's a little different.
So this is saying this is a PC support on about, well, that's about.com. Anyways, they're saying that, you know, the normal F8 works for Windows 7 Vista XP, but then you have to do Shift plus F8. It says, which that's supposedly works to force advanced startup options to appear and ultimately startup
that's
settings
it. That's
in safe
it. You mode. Have all these different options. Yeah, that was it.
Okay. So Shift F8 is how you get into startup mode for Windows 8. I did not know that.
Yeah, it was different. I mean, because you start pecking away, and I forgot. Yeah, but it was you had to do that shift, and it gives you a whole different menu, but you can get the safe mode from there. Yeah, it's like a graphical menu. I mean, not to use with your. Actually, I think you might be able to use your mouse in there. I can't remember.
But once you
click on it, then it's normal after that.
Well, it looks like this is. I just put a link in the chat room, and it's for it's a Microsoft. Support Microsoft.com. And they're saying you basically, when you're in your normal Windows, you run command prompt, you take the boot manager, you do a BC edit, which mm-hmm. is the boot manager, and you display the boot to yes. And then once that happens, then you can hit F8, and then you can get, you know, choose numbers, keys, F1 through F9, enable debugging, enable bootload, enable low res, enable safe mode. So it's almost like this one will allow the F8 to kick in, and you get you get different options. So I'll throw that in the notes for everybody today.
But doing the shift and the F8 thing, we'll get to that at startup settings with the blue screen.
I'll throw that in the I'll put that in the show notes as well for people. I'll put that the link in the chat room right now so everybody can look at that. But so shift F8 sounds like the way.
And then you can edit that, so you can get in there normally, just press it the same way we did it in Windows 7.
Okay, so what do you just, some spyware, some malware? JRT and Adaware.
First thing I did was Malwarebytes, then I did Adaware removal, junkware removal tool. I think it was basically it.
Yeah.
And, make sure there was no rootkits on there.
Yeah.
It was running really good when I got done.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of what I did over the last week. Just normal stuff. New computer deployment, new network deployment. Had a client who, you know, the new business line came in. So, you know, go out there, set up a new router, or, you know, change the IP address on the router, change the IP address on the printer. You know, kind of just normal basic stuff than that. This laptop that's sitting behind me here, the one next to the broken computer. Mm-hmm. Well, that one there, that actually came from a client, and they called me up on Friday. And they said, laptop is just running really, really slow. And I said, okay. I said, well, Friday, I've got some stuff going on. And I said, is Saturday okay? And they said, sure. So I go over there Saturday morning and I said, what's going on? They said, well, what happened was, is it was running really slow and we didn't know what to do. And so they didn't load anything on it. They just shut it off. And the next time they came on, they turned it on and it took, you know, it sat at the it's a Windows 7, i3, Toshiba laptop. It just sat at the Windows 7 login screen, you know, not the login screen, but the booting up, you know, multicolored flag screen. And it just sat there and finally it went to the desktop and then finally it would log in and finally it would, you know, it sounded like it was just taking this and, you know, just exorbitant amount of time to log in. And so I get there, I turn it on and I'm noticing, yeah, it's taking a while. And then it's taking a while. And so I think I stayed there for about 15 minutes. And in that 15 minutes was turning on the laptop, hearing everything kick on. The fans are just 110% at this time. And it's just sitting at the window screen. Then it finally gets to a black screen. Then it finally gets to a, you know, the desktop. And even then it's like you move the mouse and it finally will move. And, you know, you could just tell there's something going on. Something major is happening. And I know they have Norton and, their system tools. And I know they've got some other programs, but nothing crazy. I've worked on this computer for years. So I know what this computer, the baseline for this computer, and Norton does slow it down, but not this bad. Did you have a question?
No, I'm just,
oh, you leaned in because
I'm like shaking my head. I just,
oh, okay.
It's like you're my teacher.
I got it. So I brought it back home. And of course, the first thing I want to do is run SpinRite on it. Mm-hmm. Boot it up to the network, grab my SpinRite off my Pixie Boot server and go. And, you know, it because it's a Windows 7, it has that 1 meg partition at the beginning and SpinRite kind of goes, you know, flies through that one really fast, not a problem. And that's not a judgment of, that's not a baseline of anything. It'll fly through that one no matter what. Right. And then it gets to the first one and the first thing it does is go click, 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 and drops out to the smart technology. And I'm like, oh, the first sector of the hard drive already doing a system recovery on it. And, so I let it sit because, you know, what I want SpinRite to go ahead and work its way through it. And I let it sit to, let me grab it. I wrote it down here. 8.1841%. I actually wrote it down here on this thing.
How long did that take?
That took 90 hours.
Oh, come on.
You
know, well, go ahead. I'll interrupt. I mean, let me say something. When you're done, let me say something.
So that took 90 hours because it had found so many bad sectors. It had recovered a couple, but it had just found so many bad sectors. Now, I'm running this at a pretty deep scan, so it's going to take a while. Right. I'm hoping that it wouldn't take this long, but what I'm noticing is that it's just not working. There's some bad drive. There's some bad sectors on this hard drive. So it got to the point where it's like, okay, here's what we're going to do. I called them up and I said, well, a new hard drive, you know, we're going to go with a Western Digital 500 gig, you know, black drive. They have a Seagate or something in there. You know, here's the price. They said, great, let's do it. My thought is now I'll just straight up image the drive, because then when you image it and put it back on the computer, you're just taking the data off the bad sectors, put it back on the new hard drive. Everything should work well. And re-imaging, it actually kind of does kind of a little pseudo defragmenting of it. I go to image it and it errors out doing the image. On the machine itself. It keeps, I'm using Clonezilla, so it's throwing up errors and eventually it's just, all it's doing is errors. It's not showing me anything else. All right. So I cancel that one. I pull the hard drive out of the machine. I go ahead and I put the hard drive into the open computer there. I go to image it from there. So it's just grabbing data. I'm not worrying about, you know, drivers and interfaces and stuff with Clonezilla. And I start the image last night or start to image it. I walk away. It's about 11 o'clock. I get up because I was watching a movie and come here, check it. And it has this big halt. It aired out because
the drive was that bad.
Right. Just stopped the drive. And I thought, oh,
here's what okay. I would do. I mean, I've used, what's it called? The utility we're using?
Crystal.
I mean, I will use Crystal Disk first, right? And or C Tools. If that shows me an error, and you know, it's like I won't trust it after that. I'll back up the data first.
Right.
Yeah. I don't have faith in. I can't even remember the name of it.
SpinRite.
SpinRite. Yeah. I mean, I got it, and it's just $80. Whatever it was, what I paid, you know, waste. I mean, it has helped once. I couldn't boot up a machine where I used it, and I did. I don't remember. But it wasn't a long thing. I did a quick thing. Didn't take real long, and or it was a small drive. I can't remember. And it did boot up, so I did get data up. But then, It only booted up once, but enough for me to get the data off.
Right. Yeah. Well, and that's really, I mean, I'm not blaming Spinrite for this, because Spinrite is just showing me what the problem is. And the problem is that this hard drive is bad. So I was able to slave it to this other computer. I was able to actually pull their data off. So I actually have their data now, which is what's important. Right now the laptop is on and I just had to turn it on, kind of walk away and just let it just do its thing. It's because the recovery CDs have to be made from within Windows. So there wasn't a shortcut. So I had to dig deep down into it, and I finally found the recovery tool. So it's going to take 5 DVDs, and it's taking quite a bit of time to do 5 DVDs.
This is from the bad drive?
This is from the bad drive.
Yeah. Well, okay. Good luck.
Well, I'm out of options. Well,
what kind of machine is it?
It's a Toshiba Satellite A505 or A55 or something like that.
Windows 8?
Seven. So the Windows 7 sticker on the bottom of it, which I thought I'll just use the key off the Windows 7 sticker, right? It is faded. Mm. I can't read anything. So if I can make the CDs or the DVDs, it's making 5 of them.
I think it's what mine did. I got a Toshiba too, i3.
Right. Well, I've got a new Dell over here that did 3, but no, brand new in the bag. Here's that 500 gig hard drive right here. I'm going to, If those CDs work, then they work. If they don't, then they don't. I have their data. We can figure something else out after that. If it means calling Toshiba and getting CDs, if it means, who knows what it's going to mean. But if those 5 DVDs work and I can restore to this brand new hard drive, then, and I have other data, then we're back up and running, So that's kind of been my challenge the last couple of days, is just that. And, like I said, Spinrite's just showing me the problems, and I've actually had Spinrite run for a long time, and it will run for a long time if you have bad sectors, because it tries really hard to fix those bad sectors, and then it moves the data if it can't. But I heard you when I said it ran, that was 8%, and it was 90 hours.
Well, I had another one that it fixed. It took 3.5 years, but it did fix it.
I've actually ran Spinrite on a bad hard drive for 3 months, and I gave up. Before Spinrite did. But then this one, I'd try to Spinrite it again in that machine in bad sectors. So the hard drive is completely gone, and I'm looking forward to hopefully getting this back to my client really soon. But I have a new computer down here that I'm deploying tomorrow. So this, you got old with the bad. But yeah, yesterday I did a 5 computer deployment, two Dell Slimlines, one, desktop, and then a laptop at a vet office. That makes computer, I think this is computers 27. Yeah, computers 20. Now they have 27 computers in their office, not including server. So they have 30 technicians working there. So this is a fairly big vet hospital. I'm the other vet that I work for has two techs, two office people, 2 techs. But definitely not as big as this other vet. So, and they're just in the process of hiring another doctor. So keep them busy a little, I'm trying to,
Now, do you have a home server in your house too?
I used to, but I don't. So being that, and I'm going to be very, we're going to argue semantics here, but being that a server, I am not running a Windows Server operating system. I'm running a file. So I have a file server, but my network is flat. So
I've been reading up on it lately and talking to my son, and, because I kind of wanted to learn how to do it. But then I only have, I think most of my machines here are, you need what, at least pro, right? And all mine are home, well, except for 2 of them, I think. Like if I wanted to run like a Windows 8 server or something. Doesn't
do you
have
mean
to be
pro. Doing files?
No,
do you mean file storage, or do you mean
no, not file? Just doing. I want to do a regular server and to learn how to do it. And I mean, I can do it in a virtual box, I guess.
Well, no, because server is going to be a completely different operating system.
Right, that's what I'm saying. I want to learn how to do the domain and connect to them with the client machines. But you do that. That's what you do, right?
Right. I see what you're saying. You're saying you. You, all your computers are home, so they wouldn't be able to connect to the server even if you created one.
I have 2 of them that are, I think, pro or. But.
Yes, you do have to have a Windows 7 Pro or
XP.
I don't know much.
Windows XP. 8 or pro. Yeah.
Yeah, Windows 7 Home used to. You can jerry-rig it. You can do some registry files, but it's not the same.
No, I'm not going
to. Yeah. No, but definitely get your hands on, you know, a Server 2012 and then just create a virtual box of it. Just so you know, server, it's, you know, I'm actually really kind of surprised at how easy a server is. I was looking at
some tutorials, not that I have it down yet, but it seemed like it was pretty easy. And then I think you can use that for like 4 months or something, you know, would you say 2012 Essentials Server or something?
Or well, as yeah, they've got different levels. The Essentials are for small business, and my personal take, I haven't messed with them in a while because they lock everything way down. The Essentials are for the small business where you get Exchange, you get your Active Directory, you get everything right there. As opposed to getting your Active Directory and DNS and everything, and then adding Exchange onto it afterwards as just a regular standard server. I know a lot of people who go to the Essentials. The issue I've had with the Essentials servers, and listeners and people downloading this later on, if I'm wrong, if they've Essentials has gotten better, then call us, email us, let us know.
What do you normally use for your client?
I just use the standard.
I mean, what's it called?
It's Server Standard.
2012 or
I have or one 2000 I have one 2012 server out there. Okay. I've been using 2008 for a while, but most of my clients don't need Exchange, so the Essentials throws Exchange on there, and I'm a big proponent of hosted Exchange, so there's no reason for me to do right. that. And
basically I just want to learn how to do the DC promo or what the Active Directory thing, and you know, try to how to lock down your client machines, because I know nothing about that, you know, and
right.
But because I don't, you know, I don't have passwords on any of my computers except for my Linux machines, you know. But trying to do it the right way, you know.
Yeah. Oh, it is fun. Don't get me wrong. That is the thing that I really really enjoy on servers, is being able to mess with it. What you're looking talking about is group policy. You know,
right.
You can control everything from the you know, the way the mouse looks, how often you want to lock the screen, to the screensaver, to favorites, to passwords, to the way, I mean, every little thing that you want to make a change on your computer, you can do within group policy and more.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know,
I learned one tutorial I was looking at, they you know, how you want to, how much space you want to give your users, your clients, and like a gigabyte, and they call it, in one tutorial I was looking at, they call it the H drive on some of them, because that was from the old Unix days, right, or something. Oh. And that's what ours is called at work, the H drive, or our user account, you know, where we can see stuff stays on there. So like,
right.
we had our computers worked on and say, back up everything, put it in the H drive, it'll stay there, you know, and
right.
Yeah. So
right. Oh, I did actually. I did move a client over to CrashPlan this weekend. They had been running Symantec Backup Exec and having to take hard drives. So the couple Tuesdays ago when I missed the show, when it was the Palo Alto site, they had one external hard drive on site, and then they had these two external hard drives that they were always taking home and swapping, and then they would forget, and then they would overwrite, and they were having, you know, just everything that goes along with backing up your stuff locally, which is great, but not being the primary source because of that constant, you know, shuffling. And so this last weekend I put them on CrashPlan, and it was over the weekend. I just click, 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 select all this, you know, whatever, 25, 30 gigs of data, shoo, up to the cloud, and sent them a note. So Monday morning when they came in, it was all set, ready to go. I didn't bother anybody. They came in, and everything they started working on starting Monday morning was straight up to CrashPlan getting backed up.
Cool.
So yeah, it was that. I did that. Yeah, it's just been a fairly, it's been a quiet week for me as far as work goes. I've kept busy.
You look very relaxed.
Yeah, yeah.
I know sometimes you're like, you come in here, you're exhausted.
And you know, this last week I was able to go to bed pretty much on time. So that was nice.
I'm exhausted every day because of my sleep apnea, and no one wants to hear about that. But but I am down 35 pounds.
Have been seeing that, Mitch, and I have had a terrible couple weeks of not eating very well. So I don't think I've gained 35 pounds, but I definitely can feel that I have gained some weight. And I see your 35 pound notes and I just get angry because
it's hard.
I'm jealous.
And, and my snack food is pretzels, believe it or not. And I ate about 9 pretzels today, which ain't bad. I'll still lose weight eating that. But, you know, no ice cream, no, I haven't had no burgers, no pizza in 60 some days now.
Nice.
It's hard, but I'm determined this time because I tell you, well, you know, I put everything back down here and I did a pretty decent job cable management. I bought some Velcro ties and here you can see some of it right now.
Oh yeah.
You see, it's a lot better to have in the past than
So if you're listening, what Mitch did is he put this video camera around and he but everything is on a shelf and all the cables come down into one spot, so it's Velcroed along the top, and then the horizontal is all Velcro and then the vertical is all Velcro.
But it's over the place. I got three desktops underneath. I always kept my desktops on the table with me. I don't like putting it on a rug, plus it's so hard to get down there. But what I did this time, this little cheap desktop, it's got a little cross board underneath it. So I put a computer underneath there. It's off the carpet. Then I bought these bed trays. My wife had one of them. She bought another one. And that's like off the ground, like 10 inches. And
it's very underneath. Nice.
Yeah, and so I can utilize all its space on a desk. And it worked out real good. And I got underneath there and I Velcroed and it tied up and it did all this real nice cable management. There's no way I could have done that 2 months ago. I mean, I'm literally sitting underneath these desks. Yeah, I mean, because it was hard for me just to put my shoes on. But wow. Just from losing that 35 pounds. So I can imagine how much easier if I lose another 35 pounds it's going to be.
Yeah. Well, congratulations, Mitch. That's really awesome.
I just hope you can say it 5 years from now, because my history is it's always back in 2 years, my weight that I lost in the past. Well, but
yeah.
Not this time.
Not this time. Do it. Do it.
Yeah.
Well, I wanted to talk about... So last week, if you guys have not, I was going to say, if you missed the show last week live, go check it out. Check it out online. It's not, but I can't really say that because it's not up yet. It will be. But if you want to go see the video, you can go to, the Geeksters videos and you can check it out. If you go to youtube.com/mobando, I believe, I think you can go see last week's show. Audio is not so great. We had some issues, but the audio will be there for the audio podcast. But what I wanted to mention was we had Nick Shaw on and Marshall on. And during the show, they had brought up, and we had them on because they were going to talk about D7. And during the show, I bought D7. Like, it was one of those things where I threw the gauntlet down. I bought it right then and there. Before we had the show starting, Marshall and I were talking. And Tuesday morning, 5 a.m. Pacific time, he says, "Are you sure you want to do it that early?" I said, "Yeah." We will be doing, I'll be doing a sit down with him and doing the kind of the training, the one-on-one training with him. Monday, gosh, it's only Tuesday. Yesterday, D7 3 came out. So Nick mentioned on the show that D7 2 version 3 would be coming out soon. And it did. And I don't remember if it came out on Monday or if it came out earlier than that. But anyways, D7 3 is out. Go check it out. And I wanted to bring up Mitch and earlier I was calling Mitch Nick, Marshall, and now I'm calling Nick Mitch.
Well, at least it's not Marshall. Fred.
It's not Fred. Don't get me started. I didn't hear it. What I wanted to mention is that if you didn't listen to the show, wait for it to come out. Go check it out. If you've ever kind of wondered what's D7 all about. Okay. So what is this magic that we keep hearing? You know, we've talked about Nick. We've thanked Nick many times about being a sponsor of the Podnuts Network. He's been on a whole bunch of shows. He was on a Podnuts Daily with Jeff Halish. Him and Marshall, they were talking about D7. I don't have that numbers in front of me for that one, but just go to podnuts.com and find it. But what is D7? You know, what's D7? What's D7-2? D7-2, Nick calls it, it's the ultimate PC technician's repair toolkit designed to automate your daily workload, eliminate errors and emissions, and dramatically increase your efficiency and ultimately your bottom line. So I was talking with, like I said, with Marshall, and Marshall said that they got some reporting done and they were doing some stuff, but it sounds like there's going to have some kind of a ticketing system involved in it where you can automate a ticket system when you're working on D7. It does things like it grabs your system information. So how many times have you guys, maybe at your tech and you're not on site and you're remoted into the system, but you need to grab information or you want to have a report of all of the computers you're working on. You know, what's the processor? What's the RAM? What's the BIOS? All of this kind of the nitty gritty, you know, very fine detailed stuff. D7 does that. System information and gathering, custom reporting, virus and malware removal, when on the show, didn't he show kind of you can set up your own scans, and he has things like Malwarebytes involved in there. I don't remember some of the other ones that were on. I remember Malwarebytes caught my attention. So you can automate your scripts, and you just say, run these commands, run all these programs, and go. Windows repair and comprehensive maintenance. So, you know, those errors that, you know, you think, how do I, you know, maybe it's just throwing an error. And, you know, I just need to reset something. Something needs to get reset. D7. Tweaking in app installations, data backup, keeping your favorite tools updated. That's what I was talking about. So you can have your list of your tools that you really, really like to use. You can save those. So now you have basically, a set toolkit for you. Maybe you want to make a set toolkit for malware and antivirus removal. Maybe you want to do one for, computer information gathering and computer, just a survey. You know, you can create your own little modified toolkit. All these computer configurations that you're talking about here that we're talking about get synced to the cloud. They stay in the cloud. You don't have to worry about carrying thumb drives with you. They're all synced there. And it integrates with any of your PSA, CRM, ticketing traffic software. So he says that with the version of D7.3, new simple and descriptive interface for viewing, reacting to system alerts, also for running internal functions, custom HTML reports with your pre-configured template for any D7.2 functions, custom apps, system alerts. It's just, there is a lot of stuff that D7.2 handles. I'll be giving you guys a better understanding and a better report about it after my follow-up with Marshall on Monday. I'm really looking forward to using this product. It's something that I've been wanting to use, and I kind of have to just bite the bullet and just get in there and start using it. And I know as soon as I start using it, my job is going to be that much more efficient and that much more productive. But if you guys are at all interested, go check out D72, foolishit.com, foolsiht.com. And if I remember correctly, wasn't it Podnuts 20? I'm hoping that is still available, but Nick Shaw gave a Podnuts 20 promo code last week, and that gives you 20% off. So foolishit.com, D72, go check it out. And I mentioned it because he brought up that because he released D7.3. So I came across some couple news articles, and one, Mitch, you're a football fan. I know that you're wearing your Baltimore Ravens. just a tiny football fan. Not much. I hear you kind of dabble in it. Like you like it.
No, I like it a lot.
I know you like it a lot. So Microsoft, I don't know, maybe you heard about this. Did you hear that Microsoft paid the NFL $400 million to use Surface 2, Surface tablets? So when you see the coaches on the sidelines and they're holding tablets, they're actually Microsoft Surface tablets. Well, here's the problem. Mitch, when I say, when you got to blow your nose or maybe you cut yourself and you got a little owie, you go for something like a Band-Aid, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or you go for something like a Kleenex. Mm-hmm. Well, you may not have a Kleenex. Maybe what do I got here? I don't know what this is. Oh, this is actually, yeah. So this is Puffs. I just happen to have it here. But what do we call this? We call this a Kleenex. Here's the problem. All the announcers for football were calling the Microsoft tablets iPads.
Oh my gosh.
So there's this big uproar because the announcers are like, so how do you get around that iPad? What do you do with the iPad? Blah, 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 blah. And there's a video, and I put a link in the chat. There's a video of the announcers actually calling them iPads. Here's the question. Because we have so many name brand things, we call everything that has to do with blowing your nose a Kleenex. Every time you get a scrape and you got to put something on, you call it a Band-Aid, even though it's not a Band-Aid or it's not a Kleenex, because those are name brand issues. Is Microsoft too late? I mean, they've released the Surface, but everybody knows tablets now as iPads. Is Microsoft going to be fighting an uphill battle to get their name out there? Even though everybody knows they have something called a Surface, but the generic term now, we've now generalized tablets to be called iPads.
That's a tough one. I mean, do they have any recourse there for if they're paying all this money
they're not calling it. The announcers are calling it that. So who did this? John Lynch, Fox commentator John Lynch. He says, Lynch did not seem to realize his mistake when he later noted that the players now have quote-unquote iPad-like tools at their disposal. However, no time during the discussion was Microsoft or the Surface mentioned by name.
iPad-like. Maybe they were Chrome machine. I mean,
no, they're actually Surface.
Chromebooks. I know. But I mean, what does that answer is what I'm saying. Oh, that's terrible. I mean, I feel... How could I feel bad for Microsoft? But I mean, but I do see, I see their point though. I mean, if they don't mention the name, you know, or.
Well, it said the biggest blunder for the league came during the nationally televised Monday Night Football game when ESPN's Trent Dilfer joked about how long it took the Cardinals assistant coach Tom Moore to learn how to use the iPad to scroll through the pictures.
Yeah, he was the winning quarterback in Super Bowl 35 for the Ravens, by the way. But anyway.
Trent Dilfer?
Yeah, Dilfer.
Oh, okay.
I'm not sure. Does the Surface say Microsoft on the lid there on the front?
Nope.
I didn't think so.
Well, yes. You got a handle in the back of it so you can put it on. And, you know, like if you're holding like your laptop bag or something like that, across the back where it's padded, it does say Surface and you can see it in one of the pictures, but not all the pictures. And so my question is, is this going to be a battle? Is it too little too late for Microsoft? They're trying to get into the market and they're trying to put their name out there, but everything tablet, unless it's, you know, I have my Nexus 7 around here. You know, it's not an iPad. You can tell right off the bat. It's not an iPad.
Right.
But what happens when I'm around somebody with that? What do they the first thing they ask me, is that an iPad mini?
Mm.
You know?
Yeah, that's a good question because they say the same thing about Windows Phone. Are they too late?
I mean, right. Is that an iPhone? No, I have an Android.
So late.
I hope Microsoft can, if they're trying to pull this off, they paid $400 million with an M, $400 million for the NFL to use as tablets, but everybody keeps calling them an iPad. I don't know.
And they're pretty pricey too.
Yeah. Yeah, they are. So, well, we'll have to see what happens with that. But I just thought, you know, I know you're a football fan and I wanted to hear if you.
And baseball.
Well, of course, but I'm not.
That's about it.
Well, I like baseball too, but I don't see them using any iPad-like tablets on baseball. Yet. All right. So last week, I forgot to mention it, was Patch Tuesday. I'm sorry. I felt after the show ended, I went, oh, it was Patch Tuesday, and I didn't even mention it. But that's okay, because Microsoft released another problematic patch. GFI blog, the blog for GFI software, says, here we go again. Microsoft pulls another problematic patch. It said, Microsoft Patch Tuesday turned into chaos and confusion when a small but significant number of users reported serious problems, including the blue screens, after installing the monthly security patches. But it sounds like this time Microsoft pulled it within 24 hours. Probably an effort to avoid a fiasco like the one last month. The company was quick on the trigger this time, revoking the patch within 24 hours after it was released. That's good news for organizations and individuals who have taken time to delay a patches. So maybe that's one reason to not patch your computers right away. I'm usually a little bit slower on it. So when Tuesday came out, I didn't patch my servers and my client servers until Sunday. So by that time, everything would have been resolved. But I haven't run into issues, and I don't know. I'm trying to...
Hey, the i5 in the middle here, it just finished updating when I turned it on. I guess I had it from the weekend. No issues there.
Okay, and it says actually there was two blogs for it. I didn't have the second one in there. I apologize. The second one says that it also affects Windows 8.1. The problem has been recommended the uninstall, which is an update that's supposed to fix a kernel mode driver. So it's another kernel mode driver. And this is from August 18th. So this is, wait, no, that's August 18th. So that's last month. So never mind. Scratch that last one. Anyways, they pulled another driver. They pulled another patch. I don't know. It says the scope of the problem is limited to those who use the OneDrive patch. Oh, PackSwitch created to fix a problem with synchronization of libraries with an error message returning when you attempt to sync a new library. So anyways, if you use, just follow up with a patch. So be careful with that. But I just wanted to mention again that Microsoft released another bad patch. That's always fun. What happened? Oh, iPhone 6. Did that just happen? When was that?
Was it last Tuesday or Tuesday before that? Or it was recent?
It was. Yeah, I knew. I knew. Well,
was it last Tuesday? A week ago from today?
Last week. Must have been last week.
Yeah. And they're coming out with a watch, too.
Yeah, they're coming out with a watch. But I didn't know this. I heard about it a little bit, and people were tweeting about it and putting on Google Plus and Facebook about getting the new U2 album.
Yeah, the girls talk about it this morning. Yeah, go ahead. I mean, you could download the video for free or something. Or,
well, what it sounds like, and my kids haven't seen this yet, which is fine, but it sounds like they're actually, they were pushing out the new YouTube album. Like, mm-hmm. every iTunes user received a new album for free, whether you wanted it or not. You just got, you just got the album.
Yeah, I heard a girl I work with, a lady I work with, her daughter. But I, you know, I'm like half paying attention.
Well, this is from Wired, and with, the problem is now this is a commentary. Just to get you, if you like U2 or you don't like U2, I'm just reading what this says. And it says, at the close of Apple's media event last week, CEO Tim Cook announced to all that iTunes users would be getting the new YouTube's newest album, Songs of the Innocents, for free, right then and there. Sweet! A free YouTube album, you'd think the public would have cried wrong. Apparently, much of the iTunes use populace agrees that YouTube hasn't put out a good album since Octung Baby. If you're one of the 800 million iTunes users who allowed to purchase content automatically downloaded to your iPhone, iPad, iPad, Pod Touch, or computer, all of a sudden, here was nearly 27 million of rhythm of rhyming Bono cliches. Even worse, you can't delete the album for the first week because it showed up as a past purchase in the iTunes music store. Thankfully, Apple has addressed the YouTube problem. So, the link in the show notes will be how to remove the YouTube album off of your iTunes if you don't want it. If you want it, great. If you're a YouTube fan, there you go. If you don't want it, there's a link in the show notes of how to actually remove it. Now, I have an Android phone. I've had it now for almost a year, Mitch, because OLF is coming up. I didn't get the U2 album. That's okay. I think their U2 is okay. I'm not a great fan, but, you know, I mean,
there's a couple songs I might like, yeah. But I'm not too familiar with most of their music.
Yeah, me neither. A couple little things. So if you got the album and you want to remove it, there's how to, do that. I listen to, you know, we talk to other podcasters on the show. We've had Mark Hockrell from Everyday Linux on. We've had Nick and Marshall. They're going to be doing something. Jeff Halish has been on. Oh my gosh. We've had, who else do we have on? We've had some podcasters.
Do we have a gentleman, Jack, somebody?
Yes.
I was watching some of his videos on the, you know, installing the server.
Oh, I completely forgot about Jack. Good. I'm sorry, Jack. Yeah. He's, Jack, I'm so sorry.
I forget what his last name was.
It's Okorn. Oh my gosh. I'm sorry, Jack. If you're listening, I completely apologize. I have completely shot it down. The server repair server show. Anyways, this morning or yesterday, I had seen some stuff come across the Google+, and from a gentleman by the name of Matt. Oh, it's gone. I can't remember. I am so sorry, everybody. I am at a complete loss of words. Matt McGraw. Matt McGraw did a show, and Jack Okorn is the one that's him. So Matt McGraw put out a new podcast, and it's called, and he's the stay-at-home geek, and it's G33K. And he put out a new podcast just the other day. And I actually got a chance to listen to it this morning, and it's really well. I'm hoping to have him on the show coming up here. I've already kind of reached out to him. But it's the 5 open source projects you should be using right now. It's called The Geek Dad Show. He's a dad. He stays at home. He has 2 little daughters. He talks about the show where he's going to, you know, some of it will be personal stuff. It didn't sound like he's going to get into debatable topics. You know, he's going to step away from that, but he's, you know, he's got some kids, and he posts some music, and there's links for all the music, and really good episode. So if you're looking for another, not necessarily Linux based, but just a geeky tech podcast, check out this in the show notes. It's the, or go to his website. It's geekdad.thestrangeland.net. That's G33KDAD. Check that out. So I thought that was a good one, and I will reach out to him, and like I said, I'll have him on the show, and we'll get to talk with him a little bit more. Matthew Williams, I don't know if you've talked to him. He was at OLF a couple times. He does he's heavy in the Nightwise Google+ community, and he's helped out with PodNut stuff, and I've talked with him before. He sent this list out, and I thought this was actually kind of funny. And this will actually flow into 2 news articles into one here. And it's the 10,000 top passwords. And what's interesting is if you go and there's a list here of the 10,000 most common passwords. I'm going to open them up. It's just a text file here. And it's things like password, 123456, 123456789, 1234, QWERTY, 12345, dragon, baseball, football, let me in, monkey, ABC 123. There's 10,000 of them. Those are the top couple. I don't know if they're in any order, but the last ones are things like E-E-E-E-E-1, Epson, 80, Hugo, Hugo, Howie, Honeydew, Hounds, Hell No, Ice Cube. Anybody out there using the password Ice Cube? So, check out that website. It lists all the passwords and 10,000 most common, but there are some statistics in it. 4.7% of users have the password password. 8.5% have the password password or 123456. 9.8% have the passwords password 123456 or 123456789. 14% have a password from the top 10. 40% have the password from the top 100. 79% have the password from the top 500. And 91% of the people of the data have passwords from the top 1,000 passwords. I thought it was interesting that 14% have the password from the top 10, but then it jumps to 40% have the password from the top 100. And it makes me, and the reason why I said it ties into the other one is because one of the other things that happened this week was the Google, do you guys hear what it was, it September 9th that said 5 million Gmail lab passwords were leaked. And what it was that 5 million passwords were leaked, but not compromised from Google. If that makes sense. So that means that that means that people were using the same password in Gmail as they were somewhere else, and somewhere else was compromised. So the security and the integrity of Google was intact. But if you use the same password, you know, Ice Cube, for your Gmail, for your Target, for your Home Depot, for, you know, and we all know that Target, Home Depot were all affected. Home Depot was actually affected just recently from the same target, from the same attack that got Target in trouble. They just didn't update their system. Their Windows XP POS systems, that's point of sale systems, not piece of systems. Just want to clarify that. They didn't update theirs, so I'm assuming that means that Home Depot was cracked. If you use Home Depot and have a Home Depot login username and password, you may want to go change those too. But LastPass, who I will, you know, I will stand by, has come up with a nice logo or a nice blog post that says, you know, all of kind of an information poster if you want to put it out and stick it on your wall. So it says the best passwords combine letters, numbers, symbols, and a symbol of a random pattern to make them super strong. If only 1% of the leaked passwords use that combination, only 1% of the leaked passwords use that combination. So it says 42.5% had lowercase numbers and letters, 38.84% had lowercase letters only, 15.71% had numbers only, and only 1.01% had lowercase letters, numbers, and symbols. And then it goes on to talk about things like what should you do? Longer password, password generator, and diversify your passwords. And we, you know, like I mentioned, I'm a huge LastPass subscriber. LastPass remembers all my passwords. I don't have to worry about it. I can make it super complicated. I don't have to memorize it. I don't have to write it down. You just have to remember your primary master password, and there you go. So if you don't use LastPass, it's free. LastPass, it's free. It's free. It's free. It's free. It's free. Now it's cross-platform, Linux, Windows, Mac, iOS, Android, Safari, Chrome, IE. Even if you're using IE, which you know you shouldn't be, if you're using IE, put your hand out, slap it. If you're using IE, you can still use LastPass. Since they're not a sponsor, I don't want to go too far on, you know,
I think there was problems too with Yahoo Mail.
Was there? Oh my goodness.
That's what my son was telling me.
It's all over the place. Passwords are, I wonder if we're reaching that stage where computing power is able to break passwords faster than we can do it. You know what I mean? There's always that talk of, well, how long will it take before this gets cracked because we don't have enough computing power? You know, we have all these databases and stuff now. Or is it just social engineering? Are people just trusting the internet too much? I was talking to a friend of mine today, and she was talking about how she was using Snapchat, and I said, oh, Snapchat. And she goes, no, I know. I said, I don't know. She goes, I know. And we had a little talk about it. You know, she says she uses Facebook, and her Facebook, she says there's nothing on there. She says, I don't put where I live, where I'm from, what I work, how I, she says my birth date is completely wrong. So she puts no identifying information on her Facebook. And I said, that's great. That's what you need to do. You know, I said, but the problem is she still posts a picture of, you know, her and her husband. They were just on a trip. They went over to Greece. So there's, you know, you can find where people go. I didn't even talk about, you know, what are those meta tags on the photos to figure out anything about that yet. So I don't know. But if if you're looking for a password manager and if you're looking for a password manager, use LastPass. And that made me think that LastPass also put out LastPass put out a email checker. That's the other thing, is that if you go to lastpass.com/gmail, you can put in your Gmail account and find out whether or not your username was one of those.
That's right. I forgot to tell you. I checked that out. It wasn't. But I changed mine anyway. But I've gotten a good habit. Since we got to do it at work, you know, I'm on a network. Every 60 days, we have to change ours.
Right.
Why not do it at home?
Right. So I put in my Gmail password, and guess what I got? Big red box. Your Gmail account was one of the ones that was compromised.
Mine wasn't.
So I went in and I checked it, and I changed it really quick. And I made a strong password that I don't even know because it's in LastPass. Now, it didn't seem to affect when I went in and I put in some of the business accounts that I have that are hosted by Google. They says that's not a Gmail account. So I don't know if they're not checking because it's not a Gmail account or if it's just they're only checking Gmail accounts. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. Uncle Al in the chat, or you Al, you Al, I'm sorry. Uncle Al. That's what I thought, but he didn't say uncle, and so I didn't want to call him uncle if he was like cousin Al or I don't know. You know. Anyways, it seems that many of the passwords were taken from websites where users use their Gmail address to register, according to some of the leaks victim as well as security experts. Okay. So that's what was happening is that you authenticate with your Gmail account, and those sites were actually targeted in an attack, and that's how they got
you. But they don't have your Gmail password.
But when you go to sign up for something and you're using your Gmail, you have a password, you know, Ice Cube on your Gmail account, you go to sign up for something and it says you want to authenticate with Gmail. You say, yes, authenticate. And all you're doing is you're authenticating against it, right? And so it's using the password that you already have to authenticate against it. So you're essentially giving them your Gmail and your password email address because, no, I'm pretty.
I don't know.
Or what's happening is it's saying create a password and you go, well, it's my Gmail password. And if I forget what it is, I know
if I'm joining a forum or something and they right. want your email
and you give them your Gmail password
you don't give anybody your password.
Well, okay. If you have to sign up for a forum and you give them your Gmail email address and then it asks you for a password. Chances are
for that site, but not for the Gmail.
Right. For that site. But even right. So let's break it down. So for that site. Chances are you're going to say, I need to figure out some way to remember this password. I'm using my Gmail account as my login, so I'm going to go ahead and use my Gmail password as well.
That's bad.
Well, I know that's bad. We may not think that, but my grandmother would.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And or what it does is authenticates against it and uses it. So LastPass, people. Uncle Al sent an email thing here from The Verge. Saying that Gmail passwords leaked online, but you may not need to panic. And so there's a couple sites there, and he threw that in the chat, and I will make sure that gets in the notes as well. So if people want to check on that.
Thank you, Al.
Yeah, thank you very much. The only other issue, the only thing, I forgot about this one. I did have an issue. This is not a computer related, if you will, issue. Some website changes that I needed to do. And, so I got a request for it. Not a problem. I go in, I jump in, and it's basically change. It says, you know, it gives a person's name. It gives them a phone number, and then it has an email this person link to it that you click on it, you know, drops out to Outlook and does all the, fills in everything for you. So I go to the website and I look at the HTML code. I'm like, not a problem. Change the text, change the phone number. Then I end up getting this huge long string of just gobbledygook. And I know it's Java because I can see that it's running a JavaScript, but that gobbledygook is the email information. So, but when I go to the website and I right click on it and I, you know, inspect element with my Google Chrome, I can see the string. I can see exactly what I'm looking for, you know, email to, you know, mail to colon and then the email address and then the subject. But when I go back to the PHP page, it's just gobbledygook. So I had to do some research on this because I didn't know where this was coming from. There's a site out there called from hivelogic.com/encoder, E-N-K-O-D-E-R. This is a site that allows you to create a encrypted JavaScript code for your clients. So for your email, for the website. So when you go to the website and you're running a JavaScript code, PHP code, within that PHP code, you can put this string. And then when it parses it out and you see it, you see plain text. But when you go and if you have a Google bot and it goes to scrape the data, it can't see the email address. That's the same reason why if you go to my site, obandocomputing.com, you'll notice that at the very bottom of the page, my web address, if you go to email me, there's a contact form, but if you go all the way down the bottom of it, it says martin@obandocomputing.com. So there's never a link in there that has my email address. That's a cheat. That's an easy way of doing it. But this was actually pretty cool. So if you're looking at wanting, you need to put a email address in your website, and this allows you to put an email address, a link to the text, a link to the title text. So when you're hovering over it, and then the subject line, it'll pop out and give you all the code. You drop the code into your page, and then you can encrypt your Java, encrypt the information. And so once I found that, I knew what I was looking for now. Then I just created a new one, and everything was fine. So this was something that I came across because I was, I had never seen that. I knew it was some JavaScript, but I couldn't figure out where until last night.
I got a message. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. I was just...
I was just replying back.
No. It's no worries. I got a message earlier too, but I ignored it. It was from my wife. So she's.
I can't ignore them.
No.
Those are ones I can't ignore.
The message from her was that a friend of ours who was also leaving Haiti paid $200 cheaper for her air flight, but the airline was delayed and she's got to stay another day in Haiti, where my wife is actually in New York. My wife's actually getting on a plane coming home in about 10 minutes. So,
Good show tonight.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'll be excited to hear. So if you guys like our show, if there's something you like, if there's something you don't like, if you want to talk to us about some subject, if you want to hear us not talk about some subjects, send us an email, send us a voicemail. I really want to hear it from you guys. I want to hear, maybe you have a question, a comment. It doesn't have to be about the show. Maybe it's a tech help. Martin, Mitch, Fred, Fred, Tim, guys, how do I do such and such? Give us a shout. Let us know what's going on. And even if you send us an email to geeksters@podnuts.com, send us an email. One of us will reply back to you and we can walk you through some steps and we'll just talk about it on the air. And because if you've asked, maybe somebody else has already asked about the same question.
I'm set up too. I can take voicemails and you guys can hear them too now. So.
Oh, good. Good. So yeah, give us a shout, guys. We like to hear from you guys. We like to know what's going on. Don't forget the other shows on the Podnuts Network. You got things like, what do we got, Mitch?
Podnuts Daily.
Mobile Dynasty.
Mm-hmm.
Linux like
for
that.
The rest of us.
Linux for the rest of us. Android App Addicts. So they're podcasting three days a week now. They went from one to five to three. So, which I think they found a good spot. And that's, 25 to 35 minutes of door. Eric Idini, Steve Cherubino talking about some Android stuff. They have developers on there. Mobile Dynasty, if you guys want to know about the inner workings of an Android phone, like hardcore stuff, that it's way over my head, that stuff. Links for the rest of us, that's Dora and Cody. They record Monday nights. If you come to podnuts.com/live, somewhere during along the week, come to podnuts.com/live. Two things are going to happen. Either you're going to see the last show that was published, whether it's Geeksters or Linux for the rest of us, or you're going to see a show that's going on live. Then you can just hang out, talk with the guys, see what's going on. Mitch, if people want to send us a voicemail, how do they do that?
You can send us voicemails, and please, we need some. It's been a while. Send it to at 7076-PODNUT. That's 7076-3688. And you can email me, or anybody, actually, at geeksters@podnuts.com.
I know she didn't have your lower third on.
I haven't had a lower third in a while. I switched things around. I'm sure I got it on here. I got to get... because I use Wirecast. I got it.
Well, that's where the lower third would be.
Yes.
If anybody wants to get a hold of me, martin@obandocomputing.com. You can follow me. I have Twitter. I've got Google+. Google+, it's mobando. I have a mobando Twitter @mobando, @obandocomputing. I'm all over the place. If you Google either mobando or Obando Computing, you're going to find me somewhere, sometime. You know, if you guys want to ask me a question, some people send me a question, and I reply back and let the Geeksters guys know, and then we can all talk about it on the show. So, guys, thanks for coming out and hanging out with us. We had some viewers check us out during the show. Had some people in the chat room. I like having interactions in the chat room, guys. Keep it up. That's always lots of fun. And Mitch, it was a pleasure doing another show with you.
It was fun.
We've had some guests on recently. Next week, let me double check, but I believe we have a guest next week. Do we have a guest next week? Hold on.
Let me get a drum roll
going. I know. It's going to be a long drum roll. Today's the 16th. Tomorrow's the 23rd. Oh, yes. We do have a guest next week. Alistair Christman. Alistair Christman? He's emailed us a couple times. He does a podcast in the UK, and they do kind of servers and technologies. They're kind of the Geeksters of the UK. So I believe him and the other gentleman that's going to be doing the show with him will be on. I'm just looking up the show name really quick because, well, anyways, I'll put it out there, but check out, Alistair Christman. He will be on, like I said, he'll be on the show and he'll be talking about what he does. Now he has to stay up pretty late because he's in the UK. So when he's going to be doing a show, it's going to be, it'll be
hours later.
Yeah. It's pretty late.
Something like that.
And his link is it.christman.co.uk. So check out that link, and we will, the ice cream guy's here. So we better go before they get too close. Nostalgia. All right, guys. Thanks for hanging out with us tonight. We will see you next fiscal week, and don't forget to be gruntled. Be gruntled, everybody. All right. Talk to you guys later.
Bye.